Welcome to those that just joined. This is the Chief Nerd, Dexter. We will be holding off as normal for 3 to 5 minutes until approximately 5:34 to allow other people to join the phone call. As you join, as you can hear me, if you could do me a huge favor and just send me an email, mynotetakingnerd@gmail.com. Let me know that you hear me fine, that the voice is quiet. Just type in, I hear you fine, in the subject line or something. I'd appreciate it. Would help me, and we got a great phone call lined up today, so I look forward to speaking with you guys. In the meantime, I will be back in a few minutes. Again, shoot me an email that you're hearing this. I would appreciate it. mynotetakingnerd@gmail.com. Thank you to those that sent me an email. Again, we'll be starting here in just a few minutes. Again, just a few more minutes and we will get started. For those of you that are on the line, today I'm doing something a little bit different. Rather than send you the documents beforehand, I am asking that you have pen and paper. I'm asking that you have pen and paper and or computer open so that you can take notes, so that you're a little bit more involved in the process. I do have an incredible amount of notes this week that I'll be sending you, and they will be sent immediately following the phone call as we end the call. But I didn't want to send them up front because I want you guys to be involved. For those of you that just joined, if you could, I heard a few other people join in. If you could just send me an email at mynotetakingnerd@gmail.com, in the subject line, just say I hear you well, so that I know that you guys hear me fine. That would be great. And we will be starting in approximately 2 minutes. So again, if you could shoot me an email, a few of you already have, and you don't need to do that again, just the ones of you that just joined, it would help me so that I know that you hear me fine. And housekeeping, as I said earlier, I'm asking that you have a notepad, pen and paper, and or your computer open taking notes today. I will be sending you some extremely good notes immediately following the phone call. I just chose to hold off and sending them so that you can possibly be a bit more involved. Again, email address is mynotetakingnerd@gmail.com, and we'll be starting in approximately 1 minute. Okay, let's get started. This week, our topic is influence, influencing our customers, building relationships through influence, and maintaining those relationships through time. I have a few housekeeping issues I would like to clear up, and I would like to preface what I'm about to say with the story that influenced me many years ago from Dan Kennedy. Dan Kennedy, in his time management program, tells a story of his father, who was a gruff fellow but valued time. And you know, the story was something similar to the fact that his father always told he worked at home for a period of time, and during this time, he told his family that under no circumstances, unless you know somebody is basically dying, do you interfere me, because I'm working and my work time is my work time. And there was a day when Dan was outside, many of you may have heard this story, and he broke his arm. He came inside, his son, Dan went to his mother, said, "I broke my arm." They went into his father's office. His father pointed at the door, said, take him out of here, put some ice on, and when I'm done working, we will go to the hospital." Now, that sounds gruff, it sounds rough, it sounds tough, and frankly, it's probably a bit dramatized, but the truth is that his father knew that if they went to the hospital, that they would put ice on it until the swelling went down, and they would do nothing with it anyway. But the bottom line is that I personally value your time and my time that much as well. And I will never not do something unless something like that happens. And this last week, frankly, was a disaster for me. I've had some extreme personal emergencies involving my three-year-old daughter that have caused me to be a bit behind. However, you will see when we're done with this call this evening that everything that I promised you last week that has not been delivered will be delivered to you, as well as much more. But I just wanted to clear that up and state that if anything that you have not received, I promise that I will over-deliver, I will get everything to you as promised, and it will be uploaded immediately following this phone call. Some of it already has been, I just not sent the links to you. For those of you that join late, as I stated earlier, I'm sending any material from this week's call. I have some phenomenal notes that I'm going to be sharing with you, but I didn't want to send those notes first because I want you to be active. I want you to participate, and to do this, I'm going to ask that you actually use pen and paper and or your computer and actually take notes on what we're speaking about this week, because I think it's incredibly important, and the more you're involved, the better off you're going to be and the more you're going to learn from this process. So again, the topic this week is, how do you influence your customers and clients? How do you build a herd, if you will, that will go on paying your bills and help pay for your lifestyle for years to come because they want to, because they live to do business with you? See, too many marketers, in a general way, they trade away long-term customer value and long-term business value by not being really focused on the bait that they put out into the marketplace. It's easy to attract a lot of people, but value in a person is a whole nother issue. So what you're really looking for in your marketing and everything that you do is you need to initially be asking that question of, who do I really want to attract and how am I attracting them? Because in the end, one of the things that you need to be, as we spend time together today, that you need to be thinking about is not just attracting anybody and everybody in the greatest quantity, not being the guy that can put the most people in one room, but the guy that actually has the highest response percentages. Because having the highest response percentage is the most important thing. So the number one thing you're looking for is quality over quantity, and that's incredibly important. So as we move forward today and talk about how do you develop this bond and relationship with your current clients and or your future prospects, you want to be looking at quality versus quantity. And second, the reason that you want to sell in a way that you want to sell in a way that you're developing a deep connection. And connection means that there's more, it's more than a monetary transaction. It means that the person on the other end of the communication has feelings about us as a result of the communication. And they have a sense that we have feelings about them. So that's what connection's about. It's about, you know, it's about feelings. It's not about just presenting your product, but developing over time a relationship with your customers and clients. Now, as I move forward, I hear people chiming in, and I want to let you know that you know, if you have any problems hearing me, please email me at mynotetakingnerd@gmail.com, and I will try to take care of the issue. So moving forward, first we want to make sure that we have quality versus quantity. So we're measuring by response percentages rather than how many people we can put in a room. Second, we want to make sure that we're building deep connections, and connections is about not just about a monetary transaction, but it's all about feelings. And then thirdly is acceptance of advocated positions. Many of you may have may remember from last week when I spoke about polarizing your clients and customers, meaning that you want people to want to hear more and more and more from you, and the people that don't, the people that, you know, that resist more communication from you, you may have to remove those people from the list. And acceptance of advocated position is another reason to try and write and or sell influentially to your customers. We're not trying to get a customer. We're not just trying to sell a product or a series of product. We're trying to get buy-in to our positions, to what we're all about. And that can be all the way to make the most of a to make the most of your philosophy. So in the end, what we're trying to do is to get our customers to buy into our both micro and macro philosophical stances on who we are as people and what we stand for as a company. So third is we want to get, once we're developing that relationship, is we want to get an advocated position. We want to have a strong stance with our customers that they understand who we are, what we stand for, and we want to make sure that they're buying into that, because that's incredibly important. And then finally, when we're writing to sell or when we're doing anything to sell, it's all about involvement, which, by the way, is one of the hardest things to do. When you guys, if you start setting up a blog like we talked about last week, or you start driving traffic, one of the hardest things to overcome is the fact that when you ask for involvement, when you start doing polls and contests and stuff like that, the response rate will actually be painfully low, okay? Meaning that the you know, if you send out, you know, 100 for every 100 people that you're asking to do this, you might be lucky if 2 or 3 of them actually do what you're asking. And you can't take that personal. You have to understand, though, that anytime you get somebody to do it, anytime you get them to become involved in what you're doing, so you ask them to interact with you on some level, whether it's fill out a questionnaire, a poll, a survey, and or enter a contest, anytime they do that, they move much deeper into a commitment to you and your culture, which is why you have to keep doing involving these involvement mechanisms in the stuff you do. So next, which is incredibly important, is the whole reason for doing this is for two reasons. Is number one, retention. Okay, retention is, at the end of the day, is the biggest issue for most of us. We don't want to just get them you know, for a day or for one purchase, but the real key is, how do we keep them? And then, you know, how do we keep them once we've established a baseline of how long we're going to keep them? How do we keep them for a month longer, 3 months longer, a year longer? And then, you know, our number one question should always be, how do we keep them in the game? You know, and this is, we'll talk more about this, but again, retention is the goal. And then lastly, you want to talk about ascension. So once you've got the customer and they've bought into your philosophical stances in life and business, and once you've figured out, you know, that your number one overall goal is retention, you want to look at ascension, okay? Dan Kennedy talks about ascension ladders, which many of you may or may not have in your business. But the bottom line is you're constantly trying to get them to make an emotional commitment to move up the ladder. Okay, they're going from the $19 ebook to the the $49 ebook on audio deluxe edition, maybe to the $79 teleseminar, to the coaching group, to the platinum coaching group. But in the end, what I would like you guys to do is you want to make sure that you have a list of these particular six items. So many of you may have, you know, kind of jotted down what I just talked about, but what I just covered was the number one thing you're looking for is you're looking for quality over quantity and measuring success by response percentage rather than how many people you're putting in a room. Second is it's all about connection. It's not about monetary transaction, but transference of feeling amongst one another. Third is acceptance of advocated positions, or what I call polarizing, getting people bought in to your micro and macro philosophical beliefs, if you will. Fourth is we're writing or selling. Our whole goal is involving people. And the more that they get involved, the more they interact with us, the much deeper their commitment to us as a business or individuals will become. And then out of all that, our goal is retention. So five is retention. And then again, six, lastly, okay, is ascension. We're looking to move them up through a ladder of ascension. And before I move on, I want to share with you where I've got or where I've what I've done to get this information for you today. This information is pulled from a number of sources, but I'll say that the three main sources are from a much smaller level is Robert Cialdini's Influence book, and if you don't have it, I'm going to be gifting it to you guys in an ebook format. You'll see that that's coming to you today. Is Tribal Marketing, which I just finished the report going out to people that purchased it tonight, on sale for the rest tomorrow. Great program. But mostly was a program, a $25,000 program that Dan Kennedy did called Influential Writing. And you'll see it referenced in the notes I'm sending you. So understand that the notes that you're getting, these 40 pages or 50 pages of note, I'm not sure what they are, it is really... it's the best of $25,000 that someone paid for. I mean, nobody got a deal on this. You know, Dan doesn't give deals. It was a $25,000 program that Dan does pretty much every year in January or February, and I've pulled the best from the last couple years that I had, and this is what I've developed for you. So understand that I don't say this to impress upon you, but I want you to know that, you know, what you're learning today and what I'm giving you is incredibly valuable, and if you use it, you will be able to influence your clients and customers in a way that you never thought possible. So those are some of the basics of why we do what we do, and when we sell and write and or video or whatever our mechanism for selling is, you know, so those are some of the reasons we do it. But here are four essentials, okay? Four essentials for writing and selling and developing deep, bonded, connected relationships with your potential and or current customers and clients. And that's one, is that they need to be fascinated with you. Your customer or client is an example that Dan and many other people like Frank Kern talk about is the way serial fiction writers are able to get people so fascinated with their characters, or the way television sitcoms are able to get people so fascinated with their characters that, you know, people demand another book, or they sit on the edge of their seat, you know, driving home every day waiting for the next episode of X, whatever X is. So the first thing is you want to make sure that you're developing a fascination in your marketplace so that people are fascinated by you and or the story of your product or service. And then the second thing is you need to make sure that people share a common set of values with you. It's almost impossible to influence someone that feel like they have a dramatically different set of values. As a matter of fact, I'm going to say it is impossible. So again, you want to make sure that you're establishing that advocated position of saying that this is, you know, my set of values, this is what and who I stand for, and therefore, you know, you're letting people know, both through stories over time and your words, that this is who I am, and therefore you will drive away people that are just, you know, sightseers, window shoppers, and you will attract a deeper, more bonding relationship with customers that are that have like values. So one is they need to be fascinated. Two is they share a common set of values. And third, which is probably the most important, is your customers or clients have to believe that you care about them. Now, whether you do or not, I'm not here to pass judgment, okay? But the bottom line is your customers and clients must believe you do, okay? And one of Dick Cabot, which is a he was a mentor of Dan Kennedy, is he said that people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Now, that sounds like such a mystical, simple saying, but it's so true. The bottom line is that you have to understand that your customers and clients, they need to feel like you care about them, and you do this through personal one-on-one communication. You do it through list segmentation to your higher and better clients, and make sure that you're communicating with them much deeper and you're getting involved with them much deeper. But most importantly, and another thing that's really important, is that you have to make sure that you're okay, okay? You're okay with them not succeeding. And let me explain what that means. What that means is that everybody, we all on this phone call realize that human nature is one of procrastination and not following through. Okay, that's just reality. It doesn't. I'm not being rude. I'm not passing judgment. I'm just saying that in general, that is the truth with any market we're in. So we need to care, and they need to feel like that, but we can't get attached to their outcomes, to what they're doing. We need to push. We need to provide everything we can so they know we care. But in the end, we have to let loose. We have to detach ourselves from the end result of what they do. Because if we are in love with the results that they're getting, we're going to end up getting hurt, and we will not perform ourselves. Because it's just, again, human nature. Understand that you have the 80-20. You have the 20% that are going to consistently perform, and you have the 80% that aren't. I hope you're one of the 20%, and I want to believe that you are. And I also want you to know that I do care. I wouldn't do what I do. I wouldn't, you know, give away the farm, per se, if I didn't care. But I also won't jump off a cliff if you're not a millionaire tomorrow. All I can do is give you the best. All I can do is work hard and put in 16-hour days and make sure that I bring you the best. So again, one, they need to be fascinated. Two, they need to share a common set of values. Third, they need to believe that you care about them. And fourth, they have to get value from the relationship they perceive they have with you. And it's important to understand that that's value as they define it, not value as you defined it, okay? So, I mean, again, know your market. Know what they want. Not what you want to give them, but know what they want. And how do you know if you're doing it right, which is an interesting place to start? Well, there's five things to look for, okay? So you need to know they're getting value. And one of the things that you look for is your customers or clients, they tell you stories. They tell stories back to you and then tell you their same story. So they're telling you a story. Maybe you share a story on your blog about, you know, it could be something, a personal experience, and or it could be a story about your animal as related to marketing or something like that. But what will happen is you will get people sending you or emailing you or commenting on your blog and telling you stories that are very similar to the story you just told, and then tying that to the story that you told. So you kind of know that you're getting this done if they're coming to you and telling you one of your stories that you use and you use a lot, and then telling you their version of the same story. So the bottom line, what it really comes down to, is you want to get people talking to you that way. And as you move forward and you develop a deeper relationship, the next thing you'll begin to see is people start telling your stories to others, giving you credit. Okay, so you'll start hearing a lot about that, and you'll see people that are coming to your blog and they're emailing you and so forth and saying such and such recommended me based on this story. I heard this about you, and so your stories begin to resonate beyond them in a referral sense, if you will. And then in the end, what you're really looking for is you know that you're getting this right, okay, when people begin to seek your approval. When people start sending you their marketing pieces or they send you, you know, thoughts on how they're doing business pertain to what you're doing. If you're teaching them X, it doesn't really matter what X is, but they're looking for your approval and feedback. So that's incredibly, incredibly important that, you know, people are looking for your approval in the end. So the steps that you're looking for them to move through is, one, they're sharing your stories in a way that they're telling your stories back to you and then telling you a very similar story about something they've done. So second, they start telling others your stories, giving you credit, and you start hearing about it. And then finally, your customers or clients are seeking your approval. So that's kind of the base, if you will, the foundation for what we're looking for when we're selling or influencing or, most importantly, developing a deep relationship with our customers and clients. And what I'm going to go into next is I have 30 different principles that you can use in your marketing, whether it's written, verbal, audio, video, whatever your marketing is. In the end, these 30 principles, if used in a checklist form, I mean, you can never use all 30, but what you can do is make sure that you're hitting on multiple aspects of these different principles as you're, connecting and bonding with your relationship. And so as I move through these, understand that this is not a formula that you have to have 1 through 30. These are 30 principles that work in developing a deep and bonding relationship with your customers or clients. Now, many of you may remember from last week that I will be breaking basically every 55 minutes, but because we moved through this first section fairly fast, I'm going to take a break for just 5 minutes right now, and during this break, I would like you to just, right now, if you could just ship me an email and say, I hear you well, I'm enjoying the conversation, or can you slow down or speed up, or, you know, if you have any feedback, but mainly I'm just looking, are you guys understanding it? Is it vibing with you before we actually move into the tactics and strategies to use to develop this bond with your customers and so forth? Go ahead and send me an email, mynotetakingnerd@gmail.com, and I will be back with you guys in 4 minutes and 30 seconds, and we will get right on to the next segment here and start talking about specific strategies. Thank you very much. For anybody that may have just joined, I heard someone join in. We're taking just a few minute break. We'll be going again here in approximately 30 seconds. Okay, we're going to get started again. For anybody that may have just joined, this is our phone call on influencing, developing deep connected relationships with our customers and clients. And we just talked about the six things that we should always be looking to get when we're developing these relationships. And one is making sure that we're attracting quality versus quantity and measuring by response percentage rather than how many people we can get in a room. Two is understanding what connection really is, which it's not about a monetary transaction, but it's about communication of feelings. And third is we want these people that we're developing a relationship with to understand that we have advocated positions, that we have very strong feelings about certain things, and we want their buy-in to our both micro and macro philosophical or philosophies, if you will. And then we do this, we move them deeper and deeper by involving them through communication and involvement mechanisms like contests and polls and stuff like that. Finally, we're doing all of this for retention, because in the end, our goal is to get people to stay longer and longer with us. And we build our business with the sixth strategy of ascension, which is we're trying to move people up the ladder to the next level of purchase, if you will. Not necessarily more purchases, but maybe from ebook, as I stated, up through teleseminar into coaching group to higher level of coaching. And then we have our four essentials, the four essentials that you have to have. If you have nothing else of any strategy that I talk about today, is one that people need to be fascinated with you. They need to be fascinated with the story and character, the storyline and character that you develop in the mind with your customers and clients. Two, they need to absolutely feel a connection with common values and know that you can't influence someone that has a dramatically different set of values. Third, they have to believe you care about them deeply. They have to really believe you care about them. And then fourth, they have to get value from the relationship. So how do you do all this? Well, again, I talked earlier that we have 30 different principles, and I'm going to get through as many as I possibly can today. I may or may not get through all of them, but as I stated earlier, I'll be sending you all the notes. These notes come from a $25,000 program on influence and developing deep and connected relationships with customers, the best I've seen. And so we're going to dig into the 25 to 30 different principles and strategies you can use to develop this type of relationship. So moving forward, principle one you may want to write down is the principle of fascination, which is one of the four essentials we talked about. Jim Rohn, the great philosophical motivational speaker, says that interested people want to know if it works. Fascinated people want to know how it works. So people who are truly fascinated with the thing, they want to take it apart and they want to actually know how the satellite signal gets in there and, you know, how it transmits something. How does it work? People who are casually interested don't have enormous value to you as customers or clients. But people who are fascinated with this, they have enormous value to us. So we want to know, we want our customers to want to know why we do what we do, how we do what we do, what makes us tick, what makes our company culture tick. And this requires certain disclosures about, you know, our personal lives and stuff we've went through. And it requires also certain holdbacks so that we have that level of mystery about our behavior, our process, and our thoughts. So we want them, you know, we want them connected to us through our stories of disclosure, and also we want them seeking more by holding back just, you know, certain parts of the building blocks of those stories. So what is disclosure and holdback? What you're aiming for with disclosure and holdback within the principle of fascination is you're aiming at this level of fascination with you, that these readers, you want to aim for the level of fascination people have with the, as I stated earlier, people have with serial fiction writers, you know, great fiction authors as they carry on this, you know, 100-book series of certain characters. That's what we're looking for, and over time, we disclose more and more information about how we may do something, or how we may have learned something, or a certain process that we have in our business. So the question you want to ask yourself is, how fascinated are your customers with you right now? Well, here's my guess. My guess is you may be one of the 99.9% of businesses, and that is your customers and clients have no fascination whatsoever. I don't know that that's true, but here's what I will say. I will say that most people don't operate this way. They operate strictly from a product basis. They operate strictly from the benefits and features of their product. Nobody knows anything about them. A great example would be the difference, and I may or may not should use these names, but to me they're great examples. The difference between a Tony Robbins and a Brian Tracy, both incredibly successful, but long-term, Tony Robbins has a deep, deep connection with his customers and clients, and if you've done business with him and you've been involved in his seminars, you understand, you know a lot about Tony and what he's went through, and now that he's, you know, kind of moved into the Web 2.0 experience, I advise all of you to begin to watch what he's doing. He's partnered with Frank Kern, and what he's doing on his blog, with his videos and so forth, because I really believe he's developing some just raving lunatic fans that he's always had, but he's involving them on a daily basis now. With, you know, he'll put up a video and sometimes get 1,000 or 2,000 responses, which is just insane. And then you have someone like a Brian Tracy, incredible information, very good information, but basically technical, move through step A through Z type stuff, and not a lot of disclosure with Brian. You don't really know a whole lot about him. You may like his stuff, but in the end, you ask yourself, am I really fascinated by him? Am I fascinated by what and how he does things? And then a third example would be Dan Kennedy. Again, here's a guy that, you know, we know a lot about, and there's just so many things for me as a raving fan of Dan. There's so many things that I'm fascinated about, because, you know, I'm fascinated by how he gets so much done and how he makes so much money and how he gets people to pay him so much and so forth, and I could go on and on. But again, how do you start this? How do you get people? So the question becomes is, how fascinated are your customers? One, two, and then two is, how do I get people to become more and more fascinated with me? And how you do this is the process start with what writers call the personal narrative. This is a personal storyline, if you will. What are you about? What do you symbolically represent? What at its core, the simple thing, what do you really stand for? So you have to start thinking about what your personal storyline is, why it's important to your marketplace. And we're not talking about your resume. We're talking about, I believe that if I'm going to do business, if any of you have been reading my blog, you'll notice that I'm sharing some really hardcore stories, and I'm sharing some real hardcore stories from my youth and so forth, because I want to do business with people that resonate with me, people that understand me, that people that, you know, have been where I've been, and I want to be able to help people like that, and those are the type of people that, you know, I'm looking for. So I'm beginning to lay out my storyline. So a lot of people what they do is they lay out their resume, and that's really not what you're looking for. You're looking to lay out your personal story, okay? And the good news about a personal narrative is it can be written at will, okay? Understand that we're not writing biographies. We're part biography, if you remember from last phone call, and part fictional writers. So, again, the foundation for being able to influence people through print, video, or audio is creating this video of your own life, and then you show that people that video, print, and or audio piece in whole or part for different purposes. So you're looking to lay this very, this very personal storyline out there, and in the end, you're making yourself up. You are accepted in whatever way you make yourself up, because for the most part, we're creating fictional characters. We're not doing nonfiction here. We're doing fiction, so we can make them up any way we want. You know, whatever your avatar for your business is, you know, whatever you're trying to get across, understand it's about truth. It's about truth in the sense of you're not trying to manipulate your customers and clients through this story into getting something they don't want. If you truthfully believe that you deliver the goods, that your product or service gives what they want, that your service, whatever it is that you're doing, whatever you're selling them, if you really believe it delivers much more value than they could ever pay you, then whatever stories that you may be making up to get your point across, you're doing good. It's all for the greater good, and that's what you have to think about. So one is, you know, to really begin to develop this fascination, you have to work on your personal storyline, your personal stories, okay? So in the notes that I send you, you'll see a checklist, if you will, of how you begin to do this. And one of the things that, you know, you do is you look at, you know, what are my personal assets, okay? Like Dan Kennedy talks about his alcoholism, and he talks about his hard work ethic, and he talks about the difference between short copy and long copy, and he has very personal stories tied to each one of those, because those are things that those are all part of his personal storyline asset list that he can share with his customers and clients that they can resonate with and that they'll bond with him through these stories. So begin to think about, whether you were born or raised on with a silver platter. I've found that people that had a rough upbringing, such as me, and or people that were born with a silver spoon and seem to have had no challenges in life and given everything, all of us have great stories to share, and some of them may be painful and some of them may be humorous, but in the end, what we're looking for is these 3 to 5 to 7 to 10. We're just looking to add these stories so that over time we have this heritage, if you will, of stories that we're developing and sharing with our market, so that they are developing this fascination with us. So that's principle one, fascination through a personal narrative storyline. And then two is point of view, okay? If you think about point of view, there's many writers of great influence throughout history that are fundamentally observer reporters. Napoleon Hill, the great author of Think and Grow Rich, was nothing more, okay, than an observer reporter. He never claimed to have done anything. He never did do anything. And in almost every single business he ever started, he failed in. But yet he wrote the most influential book ever on success and money mindset, if you will. But it was all observer, from an observer point of view. So that's the point. These are the different points of view you can share with your customers and clients. Tom Peters, In Search of Excellence, okay, exactly the same thing. Thomas Stanley, The Millionaire Next Door, exactly the same thing. Okay, so what do you have here? You have this point of view, one, observing from the outside, so you can observe great people and share those things with them and share stories, third-party stories with people. And the next, you have what you call prophets and psychics. Okay, the Harry Dents of the world, the Roaring 2000 author, or the next Great Depression. Okay, what they're doing is they're prophetizing, if you will. They're being psychics for the future. So you can do that as well. And then finally, the other part of point of view is your own personal view, your own personal stance and philosophy. So you have the observing through third-party stories. You have the psychic or prophet by your own prophecies or psychics of the future, psychic visions of the future, and then you also have your own point of view. So those are the three different things you can use from a point of view perspective to add to your fascination with your market. So the next thing, so you have this one is fascination, principle one. Principle two is point of view, and you have three different points of view. And then next we have what is called legend. So legend is what people know you as, what people know that you stand for. But legend is a great example I can give you is, you know, some of the legendary things that people actually believe, okay, that you have mystical abilities. They're in awe of how you can do X. So if you're a therapist, they're in awe, you know, that you can bring change so quick, that you become, you know, the quote one-stop therapist, or if you're in the financial industry, you develop percentages that people just can't believe, but you have the proof to show it. Dan Kennedy, people are amazed at how much he gets done over time. So these are the type of things that you're looking to do. You're looking to develop these legendary and mystical qualities. So you want to think about some of the things that you bring to the table that you can actually create legend out of. So you have one, fascination, two, point of view, three, legendary qualities, mystical qualities, if you will. And then next, you have prevention. This is about making sure that you don't leave room for things about you to take root in whatever your public discretion is, your audience discussion is, that don't serve you well. For instance, Dan Kennedy, you want to make sure, and I'll come to that in a minute, but you want to make sure that your position in the marketplace doesn't get locked in somewhere that you don't want it to be locked into. Dan Kennedy never wanted to be known as a speaker, okay, or let alone a motivational speaker. He wanted to be known as a down in the borrow pit, working every day, the entrepreneur that everybody could relate with. So you want to begin to look at, how do you prevent people from lumping you with the rest of the people in your industry? There might be a negative part of your industry, and you want to develop stories, part of your storyline, that sets you apart from that group. So the fourth principle is prevention. How do you prevent yourself from being lumped into a negative aspect of your industry and or business? And then five is mental, principle five is mental imprint. Now, what is mental imprint? Mental imprint is about what will stick the most, and really this gets us to story, because more than anything else, what will stick with people is the story, not the teaching, not the content, not the seven principles of this, but the story. So the story in the end is the source of all power in selling from stage, in selling from video, in selling in audio, in selling in person, and certainly in selling in writing. So again, this mental imprint, if we're looking to leave mental imprints with people, all we're really looking to do is we're looking to do this through story. And so, again, we're constantly looking, how do we, if you want to teach a specific strategy, and that strategy is going to, be a core part of what you teach overall, how do you develop a story? Maybe it's a personal story, maybe it's not, but how do you begin to develop a story that your customers and clients can resonate with? So principle six, So principle 5 is mental imprint, and then principle 6 is frame of reference. Now, this is a big one because ironically, with all the media and all the technology that exists, people's frame of reference, their knowledge base, is actually shrinking. It's not expanding. The reason for that is that everything's so fragmented and niche now. So the danger that we have is having no frame of reference, okay? Having no, and also giving our customers and clients more credit than they deserve. So you got to have be real sensitive to what you know, to what you know is not what they know. And we have to deal with that, what they know, as our foundation, as our basic for communication with them. So when you're going to the market, we want to make sure that we're starting on a level that, not assuming that our customers and clients already know what we want to teach them. We want to, through these involvement mechanisms I talked about earlier, we want to begin to find out what is their frame of reference, what do they really know, and therefore make sure that we are on their same level, that we're not outside of their frame of reference for what we're trying to share with them. So again, principle 6 is frame of reference, and really what it comes down to is just making sure that we're not assuming that people know what we're trying to share with them, that we're bringing them along in a way that they're comfortable and that they understand, rather than just assuming that from our point of view that they should already know something. So principle 7 is organization, and this is incredibly, incredibly important. Now, organization is we want to actually start inventorying our stories. We want to actually start cataloging our stories, and there's 4 story categories. And you actually want to. I challenge everybody on the phone call, and what I suggest you do, and what I do, is that you actually start to catalog these. I have a notebook, and I suggest you have a notebook that's color tabbed, if you will. And every time I build on a story that falls within one of these 4 categories, I go to that color tab and I lay in there that, I shared this story and this is something that I want to come back to. And so one of the story categories is achievement of something through conflict with others or with self. So you've triumphed over conflict. That's category 1 of stories. The next one is our adversity stories. So those are the ones pretty much everybody's got and everybody's most familiar with. They're probably the most useful to us. Next, you have discovery stories. So an example of that you're all familiar with is, or you may not be familiar with, is Dr. Maxwell Maltz's plastic surgery stories. And he was doing all these operations, and all these people should be feeling better about themselves because they look much better. But in reality, they were actually feeling worse about themselves. So he talks about his story of discovery. So the story of discovery is, maybe something that you uncovered in your industry, or you uncovered in the service or product that, you developed through discovery, and it came through observation that, consistently in front of you noticed something, and therefore you're sharing this now with the public because you discovered this great effective strategy. And then that's 3rd. And 4th, you achieve something through a teacher or a mentor. And this is a category that's also incredibly useful, is you're sharing or teaching people something that you actually learned through a great teacher or a mentor. So again, those are the 4 categories of stories that you should be organizing your storyline through. And don't take for granted that you'll just remember these things. You want to actually have these organized so you have a different category, these 4 categories, and you begin to catalog and actually, begin to go back and reference these things over time. So the next principle is purpose. Now, what is purpose? It's a one-of-a-kind purpose of stories is to explain yourself, signify, and symbolize what you're about, who you are, and what you want to be known for. Okay, even corporations have stories. Think about Nordstrom's. Think about some of the companies I think about, In-N-Out Burger, You know, Nordstrom's has, they have famous stories, you know, about the guy that comes in that, you know, has a tire. This supposedly happened in Seattle, Washington, and he says, I want to return it. Some old farmer guy, and they said, well, we don't sell tires, but in the end, they end up taking the tire and giving this gentleman a refund. That story, you know, goes on about, you know, how they believe the customer is always right and that they never say no to a potential or current customer or client. Now, again, that symbolizes who they are. So you want to make sure that, you know, your particular industry, that your particular, you know, that your customers and clients, that they have, you know, that they have an understanding of who you are and what you stand for, that you have a story about why you do what you do, and that it resonates with them and it makes sense to them, okay? And next, principle nine is, so again, that principle is titled purpose, that, you know, that your marketplace understands what your purpose is. And then principle nine is multi-purposing. You have these great stories, okay, but you can actually, the big key is that you want to have one purpose for every story, that you don't want to have two or three outcomes. Here are three, you know, you don't want to have the, here are three points from that story, because a three-point story doesn't resonate as well from people as if, you know, if you just had one solid reason or outcome or something that they're supposed to learn from that. So don't try to do too much with your stories. You want to have one point, and make sure that, you know, each story has one point. And so principle nine, the principle of multi-purposing, is you can use that story maybe for different purposes, but in the end, it's really just sharing one general principle, that you're not trying to give three outcomes or 3 points simultaneously, that you know, that you're not using multi-purposing within your stories. So again, we're at principle nine now, and then we're going to move through this fairly fast, and again, I want to get back to I'll be sending these notes to you, and there's the four essentials up top. Those are the four most important things, and now I'm just going through, you know, different principles and strategies you can use to make and develop deep relationship with your customers. And you're not going to be able to use these all the time, but understand that each one of these are incredibly powerful, and they may be a principle or they may be just a strategy for using these principles, but I'm just sharing with you all the different principles and strategies that I'm aware of for developing deep bonding relationship with your customers and clients. So right now I'm going to take another we're just going to do a quick 4-minute break till 6:30, a quick 4-minute break, and I'm going to go grab a drink of water. If you have any questions, go ahead and email me. Otherwise, I will just, I'll be back with you in 4 minutes, about 3.5 minutes actually, and we'll get back to this great content. I hope you're enjoying it, and we'll move forward in 3.5 minutes. Thank you. All right, guys, ladies and gentlemen, we're back here. We're talking about the different principles and strategies that you can use to develop deep and connecting relationship with your customers. It's all really about developing your storyline, your character, by using these principles and strategies. You'll be able to do this at a much deeper level. So far we've talked about 10 or 11 different strategies, and the next strategy I want to talk about is the strategy of consistency. So for every value, for every benefit, for every key idea that you present through the telling of stories about yourself, you've got to make sure that your behavior in all the stories stay consistent. So you want to be careful to make sure that you don't put yourself in a box that you don't want to stay in. So the bottom line is, you know, if I've made a conscious choice myself to put myself in a box that many speakers and gurus, if you will, are not comfortable being, and that's the area of personal development, or inner game, as I call it. And the reason I've made that choice is because I'm passionate about it, and I'm willing to accept the consequences of being in that particular market, and that's not what I'm here to talk about today. But the bottom line is you want to make sure that you know, whatever you write about, whatever you put into your story, you need to understand that you have to remain consistent to that story through time. So you have to make a very conscious decision to remain consistent, which is another principle, with the stories and the building blocks of those stories as you move forward. And the next principle is the principle of place. Now, what is that? The principle of place is you've got to think about everything that you present to them as a place that they're arriving at. You know, for me, it's over time I want to create planet nerddom. Dan calls it Planet Dan. The environment should be completely different from the outside world, a world where they come from. It's everybody's real buttoned up in their world. Your world maybe is not so buttoned up. It's, you know, someplace they come for excitement. Howard Stern, for example, is the all about the Animal House. He's a place where grown men go to completely misbehave and deal with fart jokes and treat women badly. Now, I'm not agreeing with a lot of it. I'm just saying that, you know, Howard makes it okay. He makes it okay for guys to come and be something, which is something that I just talked about. I mean, that I just wrote about in our newest report, Tribal Marketing. Is the most powerful narcotic is the promise of belonging, and that's really what people are doing today. You want to create a different place, a different world that people come to, that you know, that you're providing them something that they don't get at home or the office. So you want to begin to think of yourself as building, literally building a different place, you know, that people come to, that your environment, the virtual environment and or the visual with words environment that you're developing through your stories with these people is a place that it's different and it's outside of where they currently live. So again, you want to remain consistent with the storyline and the building blocks as you teach, and you also, your goal is to develop, you know, become the place that they come to for X, whatever X is. And the next principle is the principle of high concept. Well, what is high concept? High concept is, you know, Disney calls it, you know, Disney's, their high concept is the happiest place on earth, okay? So you want to think about in terms of, you know, a lot of people would call this a unique selling proposition. Dan Kennedy calls it the principle of high concept. You know, I'm going to call it the principle of the overall umbrella, if you will. So what's the one thing, the one reason that people come to you for? You know, again, Disney's is the happiest place on earth. And the next thing is the principle of desires met. Now, this is, understand that to influence people, you have to give them what you want. The bottom line is, the truth is, people want something to believe in. You don't influence with information. You don't influence with education. Okay? We may believe we do, but the bottom line is, you know, people don't necessarily come to us for those things. You need to be able to give them something to believe in. Okay, people don't even necessarily want to be smarter. They want to believe in something. They want to believe in, you know, something greater than them, and they want to aspire for that. And a lot of people, frankly, unconsciously, don't even necessarily want to reach that. They just want to believe in it, and they want that there so that they're constantly reaching for it. So you got to think of in the end, is you need to have a good psychological and emotional profile of your customers so that you can understand them and give them something to believe in that is something that meshes with their psychological and emotional profile so that they begin to understand. And by the way, another thing that I'll be sending you is, and many of you may have it, and if you haven't read it, I highly suggest you do, is Frank Kern's Core Influence Report, which talks is all about the concept of avatar and, you know, understanding your customers and clients. So, again, it's the principle of meeting the desires of your customers, and it's really not all about information and education. It's really about, you know, giving your customers and clients something to believe in. And there's a lot more in the notes, but that's the principle. So, how do you meet specific the question you ask yourself is, how am I meeting the specific desires of my particular customer avatar? Now, what is a customer avatar? A customer avatar is, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and do something that I hadn't planned on, but many of you may have read it, but I'm going to go ahead and pull up the Core Influence Report, so bear with me for a second. And I'm going to share with you an avatar so that you guys have an understanding of what I'm talking about here. So bear with me just a second. This is the funness of working live, is that I don't get a chance to edit this out, but I am going to go ahead and try to pull this up, and that way I can share this with you guys. 1 second. I will be with you in just a second. I just think it's important that you guys understand specifically, and the easiest way is just to read to you what this is. I'm looking for this, and I should find it. I found the folder finally, but while I'm looking for this, I want to also throw out there that if there's anybody that has not received the download page from last week, you can email me, and make sure that you stay on top of me. If you have any challenges this week with getting what I've promised, you should have it tomorrow at the latest. You should have everything, and also remember that if there's anything that that you don't have that my team is working on the helping you guys with the stuff that I told you last week. For the ones of you that emailed us with the business you're in, we told you we'd give you a bunch of ideas for that business, and we are working on that. But if you have any questions or anything that we're not doing that we can help you with, please email us at any point and let us know, because we truly are here to serve you. So I'm going to go ahead and find this avatar here, if I can. So here's like what an avatar may be like. And here's an anonymous avatar. His name's Frank. Okay, Frank may be 45 years old or 20 years old. He's extremely stressed with big dreams and secretly frustrated that he's achieved very few. Frank will not admit that to too many people, though. As a matter of fact, Frank will fiercely fight anyone who attacks his current status or where he's at in life. However, Frank is constantly coming up with new business ideas to take his current business to the next level or start one that will catapult him to the new level of success. Frank's an avid opportunity and business marketing reader, meaning that Frank is up to date as to who can help him in his field. He's on everybody's list and wants so bad to attend the many seminars and products that are thrown at him on a daily basis. Frank satisfies these desires by searching for cheaper means of obtaining the information through blogs, books, and audio programs. However, Frank has plans to one day be one of those people that are at each of these seminars and life-changing events he so badly wants to be part of. Frank extends himself on credit and budgeting to get the few things he can, yet still feels as though he's missing something big because he has limiting resources. Frank is very scattered in his thoughts, barely able to keep focus for more than 20 minutes at a time. Therefore, he needs to be marketed to in a much more personal and repetitive way. He's constantly pulled in 20 different directions, and his life is full of distraction and putting out fires. Frank never really fully implements anything. He's great at starting things, yet can't seem to finish them for some reason. He's always looking for something to make it easier on him or better ways of getting projects done. If someone can help Frank implement, he will be grateful forever. Frank lives in a home that's probably just above his means in a middle-class neighborhood. As status is very important to him. He works 50 to 60 hours a week and yet is never fully at work or at home. He's constantly having an internal struggle as to what he should be doing and where he should be. He is distant emotionally with his wife and children. He secretly feels as though he isn't enough. He's promised many things that have not come true. He is fiercely committed to achieving his goals though, and has never give up this mentality. He probably likes movies, video games, and he surfs the internets or some other kind of brainless hobby, and is highly susceptible to addiction as he does these things to avoid feeling and practice avoidance. He's overweight and never quite feels right because he doesn't eat right nor exercise much. However, Frank is constantly making new plans to make things better in his life. Frank is bright and he's smart on his feet. He's highly influenced from the outside and can be motivated very easily. Marketers, however, have to work a little harder to get Frank to write a check. He's between two and four credit cards. He has between two and four credit cards, yet all of them are always near or over their credit limits. He drives a mid-level car, probably a Honda or Toyota, yet dreams of fancy cars and the fast life. This is the trait that drives him as an entrepreneur. He wants big things and a big life. Significance is very important to Frank, and he probably tells a story of his life that he's began to believe that may be just a bit stretched and imaginative. Yet he's not delusional in his private moments. When one-on-one with himself, he's honest and knows that he must get better and be better. He strives and yearns to be a good person with a great lifestyle, because the majority of Franks are into their early to mid-30s and beyond. They want that secret to youth. They want the vitality again they once had, and they want to be able to use that vitality to live out their dreams. So let me ask you guys a question. If you have that type of avatar, okay, that type of understanding who your customers are, then are you going to be able to write to them and connect with them and meet their desires on a much deeper level than if you're just throwing darts at whatever imaginative customer you think you have because you have no understanding of who they are? So again, principle is meet their specific desires. And you can only do that by understanding through an avatar like that of who they are. Now, understand that simplicity is its best. I don't really know who Frank is. You don't really know for sure who your customer is. But if you can get deep inside of who you think they are and write to that person, you can do what we talked about earlier, which is polarize and advocate them to your positions, because you are therefore you're writing to their core. you're writing to the majority of the people in your market. It doesn't mean everybody. It just means the majority. So, again, it's the principle of meeting desires, and you can only do that by understanding your customers, your customer avatar on a deep level. So, again, that's in the Frank Kern Core Influence Report. It's something I put in there. Frank didn't do it. But it's a great example of an avatar and how you develop it, and I highly recommend all of you do it, and there's some phenomenal questions in there on how you do it. And again, you will have that report, and you should actually already have it when you join the program. But so, and it's very short. It's an easy report to read, but it's very powerful, so I advise many of you tonight to just dig into that report and take a look at it because it's important. One of the next principles is the principle of transparency. Okay, what's the principle of transparency? It's the principle of not having skeletons in the closet. Opportunity, there's always an opportunity in using them. Even when there isn't, you're generally better off trotting out the elephant rather than hoping nobody notices it. So transparency is really about deciding what are all the problems. What are the flaws? What are your flaws? What are the flaws in your product? What are the obstacles that you might have in your way to influencing your potential customers and clients? And just getting them out there. Letting people know who you really are, not just by the polished, clean, shiny version of you today, but, what are the closets in your past or maybe some of the stuff you're currently struggling with that your customers might be able to relate to, but most importantly is the fact that you don't want to hide that from your customers and clients, because in truth, would you hide that from your friend? No. I mean, maybe you would, but not a real true friend. And if these customers and clients over time, if they begin to, buy into your storyline and buy into the, your character, they will accept your flaws too. And you can use your flaws and the flaws of those flaws of your product or service, you can actually use them through story to actually make people bond deeper with you. So, examples of that are, when Dan Kennedy talks about his alcoholism, or when you might talk about, being overweight. For instance, if I'm writing to Frank, I might talk about my struggles with being overweight, or my struggles with goal achievement, or my struggles with productivity, and the things that I've learned. You can use stories and say, I was just like you, because in the end, that's really what it's about. It's understanding that many people in your industry that you're writing to, they struggle with the same pains and stuff that you've went through. And when you can share that with them, when you can, help them understand that you're not just this bright and shiny object that they think you are, they will just bond with you that much more. So it's the principle of transparency, which is really the principle of not hiding the elephants in the room. So next is the principle of self-aggrandizement, which is, here's a quote from an anonymous person. And it says, Mount Olympus is a gated community. Reluctance to declare yourself a god and constantly remind everyone of your status prohibits residence on Mount Olympus. So what we're talking about is you want to be constantly telling people why you are the guru and how brilliant you are, and telling them that, why it is that you possess the secrets and that you do have the secrets that they don't have. You want to self-appoint yourself. You want them to see you as a guru, if you will. So on one end, you're sharing, these personal wounds and personal problems and challenges with both yourself and your product so that they relate to you. But on the other end, you always want to be, making sure that you are, self-appointing yourself as the guru in your particular industry. And you can't be bashful about that. It's not going to serve you to not put yourself on top of the mountain, because people are always looking up. They're looking for the guru. They're not looking for the guy that's at the bottom of the mountain. They're looking for the guy that has the same wounds as them, the guy that maybe has the similar stories as them, but they want to hear about how you've overcome and about how you're, moving forward, and about how you have the secrets, that you possess the secrets to overcome those challenges they may be having. So someone just sent me a question, which is what number we're on. And Nick, I want to apologize. I do believe I jumped forward. I think we're on number 20. Okay, that's number 20. When you receive the notes, it's highlighted, very big. You'll see I've taken this stuff, not verbatim, but it's very specific, and I apologize. I kind of got caught up in the moment, but I appreciate keeping me on track here. So I believe that was Principle 20. Principle 21, which is where I'm at next, is unique importance. This is about taking whatever it is that you do, whatever it is that you're about, and making it of epic importance, much more important than it actually is. Every big success in the success industry has been about this, and so it has been somewhat Barnum-like pronouncements. See, I understand this. I come from the circus industry. Many of you may or may not know that, many of you may or may not know that, that I actually am partners in a three-ring circus. And, so I'm there. I understand the importance of promotion and the importance of sharing the unique, great things that each individual act that we promote does. And it's about being willing to declare that your thing is unique, even though intellectually we may know that it's not, okay? But you got to find the thing in the commodity that you're in, because in truth we're all in the commodity business. We have whether it's 10 or hundreds or thousands of competitors, we all have competitors, and we're all really teaching similar things. But how do we make what we do unique? And so again, that's important. And the next principle is the principle of proof. So what is the principle of proof? Well, obviously, you have the obvious principle of proof, which is incredibly powerful, which is the principle of testimonial. I mean, not the principle, but the addition of testimonials to our work. Okay, so, but the next thing is in the area of proof is name dropping and association. Okay, so you're going to see me do this much more. I mean, I have, although I share these reports with you guys, I've been involved in, numerous super high-end coaching groups that many of you may or may not even know about. I mean, the guru coaching groups. I've been involved in $50,000 a year coaching groups. I've been involved in, $25,000 a year coaching groups. And the bottom line is that you might have, things that you've done, and you can dramatize these events. Talk about how you've hung out with X, whoever X is, a certain guru in your industry, and you may have just attended a seminar, and he happened to be there. He may have just been speaking. He may have been at your table, or she may have been at your table. But the bottom line is that the more you can drop a name association that means something to your customers and clients, that piggybacking of association will make you greater in their minds. So again, in the area of proof, you have testimonials, you have name dropping, and then finally, you have publicity, stunts, daring adventures, and so forth. And think about who is somebody that has built their entire business, if you will, on doing something like this. And that's Richard Branson with Virgin. He's constantly flying balloons around, or flying balloons around the world, or driving speedboats across the ocean, or stuff like that. So those are three things that you can do to develop, provide proof to your market. So proof is an incredible principle or strategy that you should be consistently using to develop that deeper bond with your potential customers and clients. So next we have the principle of relevance. Okay, this is I'm trying to explain this in a way that relevance is, why are you relevant more than the next guy? Okay, you want people insanely curious about your backstory, insanely curious about what makes you tick, because Otherwise, you're just another commodity. And again, you know, if you're relevant in your industry, you're going to stand out much more than the guy that's not relevant. You know, maybe people go to buy something from somebody because they have great information, but they don't have any relevance to them because they don't have a story to share with people. So again, although I put this in here, relevance really is not, to me, an additional principle. It's more of, if you do this other stuff, you will become relevant in your industry. So again, being relevant is much more important. Is much, you know, if you're relevant in your industry, that's much more important than the 8 bullet points of why someone should be on your particular phone call for a seminar, if you will. So people will be much they'll line up to be on a phone call if you're relevant, but they won't line up just because, you know, you've given them 8 reasons. Some people will, but a lot more people will line up if you're already relevant in the industry, which is really what this is about, the more you develop this relationship and so forth. So that's principle 23. Principle 24, by the way, and I'm going to go ahead here. I apologize. Mother Nature is calling me, and I have got to go downstairs and go to the restroom. So give me approximately 3 minutes, and I will be back with you guys in 3 minutes, and we will start with principle 24. Thank you so much for bearing with me. I hope that you're getting some great value out of this. Again, we're talking about principles and strategies to develop you know, a great storyline and character so that your customers and clients can bond with you deeply. I'll be back in 3 minutes. Hello, folks. I am back. Thank you for bearing with me. We're talking again about principles and strategies that you can use to integrate into your story and character to develop a deep and lasting relationship with your customers and clients. And right now we're in principle 24, which is what's called the welcome profit status. And this really has to do with source, and it fundamentally says that most of what we what is profitable for us to do in selling to influence people is not to change their minds, but instead to give them more of what they want, to appear as the profit they hoped would appear, not as the profit that they don't want. So we want to show up and appear as X to an audience that wants X. As Gary Halbert, says, you want to find the starving crowd and go to that crowd. The bottom line is that we don't want to, we don't want to try to sell them something they don't want. And a great example is there's a new infomercial out, and it's going to be incredibly powerful. I mean, they've built a fairly complicated product. What they got is they got this book with little tabs and stuff on it. It's a weight loss product. You fill out the questionnaire, they figure out your body type, and when you turn it over on the back, after you put the right pieces together, it tells you what to eat. Now, the best thing that they got in the whole pitch is the bonus, and it's a pocket-sized book for 50 of the major restaurant chains in America, from McDonald's to Burger King to Applebee's, and one page for each of them, and it tells them basically what to eat in those places to lose weight while they're there. Okay, so it says, you eat this food here, this food there. And here's the bottom line, okay? These guys figured it out, okay? They figured it out that they showed up and they say, by all means, go to eat at McDonald's. Go to Outback Steakhouse. Go to Burger King. Go to the Krispy Kreme in your morning on the way to work. Here's a page for each one of them that tells you what to eat that will crank up your metabolism. This guy is the most welcome prophet yet to arrive for weight loss. So in other words, he's not trying to avoid. He's meeting people where they're at. And you want to be a welcome product prophet. You don't want to try to get people to you don't want people to see you as the guy that's telling them to do the hard stuff. You want to find a place where you can meet them where they're at, and then enable them to live the life they're living and make, some of the current choices they're already making, make those choices smarter. So if they're already doing X, then how do you make X, maintain that as part of their lifestyle, but do it in a way that's both profitable and or equitable and or, it serves them. So the bottom line is you want to be the welcome prophet, not the unwelcome prophet. Next is that I'm going to move on to anyway, and we'll call it Principle 25, I believe. Principle 25, and I have skipped just a few of these guys. And that's the importance of the unimportant detail, okay? Now, what this means is that you can give two people the same joke, and one of them get laughs and the other one doesn't. Pretty much three things affect that. One is the confidence of the delivery. If you tell a joke in a way that shows that you expect it to be funny and you expect people to laugh, they generally laugh. Now, the other two things in delivery is pace, but then another is detail that you put into the joke. So oftentimes, you can take a Reader's Digest joke or a Playboy joke or just some joke you read on the internet. You can clean it up or change it a little bit, and you can actually make it useful for you, and actually more funnier than it was when you read it. So, the example would be the details that a great fictional author goes into. So the importance of the unimportant detail. There's a big difference between saying a guy stands there in a blue shirt versus, going into detail about how this gentleman looks and what, a little bit, more detail about that shirt and the environment that person's in. So, again, the importance of the unimportant detail. So when you're telling your stories and you're developing your storyline and so forth, you want to, make sure that you're getting your point across in a way that really resonates deep, and one of the ways to do that is to pay attention to the importance of the unimportant detail. So next we have, which I consider to be one of the most important strategies, and that's Principle 26, is the principle of aspiration. See, ultimately, we're not selling things. We don't sell features. We're not selling benefits. So what we're really doing is we're selling aspirations. People buy because of symbolism. Why does somebody really come to a seminar? Well, on one level, they may come because they're expected to, like it's the national convention of blank. So if they're a mechanic, an auto mechanic, or whatever it is, the National Convention of Auto Mechanics, they think they're expected to it. They may come on one level because of what the seminar is, or who the speakers are, or that's just the happening thing. They may come because of the fraternal aspect of the seminar. It's the place to see people you only see once a year, and so forth. There's a lot of feature benefits to the whole thing, but ultimately they're there because of certain more powerful aspirations. They're there because they want to be perceived in a certain way. They want to feel about themselves in a certain way. They want to be like the other people who are there that are successful. So the bottom line is that when you get at the aspiration, what people really want, what they're aspiring to be, it's easier to keep them interested over time, and price really goes away. If you can get at that core of someone's aspirations and what they're really there for, you know, what they really want this report for, what they really want this ebook that you're selling for, if you can really get at the core of their aspiration, why they want to read that or why they want to attend what you're doing, you can charge more. You can, you know, you'll develop a deeper connection with them, and they'll stay around much, much longer. So Principle 26, I believe it was the principle of aspiration, finding out what the aspirations are of your potential customers and clients. And then next is the principle of the big entrance, okay? Every piece of writing, with rare exceptions, is, you know, we all talk about, you know, really what the big entrance is the headline. So we want to make sure that, you know, you're paying close attention to the opening lines, the opening statements, the opening paragraphs, okay, and even the opening paragraphs in new chapters or the opening lines, as we're transitioning from one part of the story to the next. But the most important thing is to pay attention to the headline of what it is that we're writing, because it's so incredibly important. The headline test is the bottom line, is that if, you know, Dan Kennedy has a headline test and he says if you took everything else away from this particular story or everything else away from this particular product and all I did is run the headline as a classified ad, would it sell something? And in the end, the answer needs to be yes. So you always want to be looking at the principle of the big entrance, which is, you know, every new chapter, every new paragraph, you know, every new transition in your story should have a selling factor in and of itself. So again, the principle of the big entrance, or really the principle of the headline, making sure that you're really paying attention to that, because that's 80 to 90% of your success is going to come in that one area when selling. Your heads and your subheads are just so, so important. So next is the principle of stealth advertising. Okay, this is principle 27. The principle of stealth advertising is stealth advertising is like low grade infection. So I really don't. This is something you're going to use like later on. You have influence with your customers and clients, okay? You have you have that bond and relationship with them. Well, stealth influence might be you decide that you're going to promote somebody or some product. One way is you can have a blatant here's the offer to buy this particular person's product. The other thing is you begin to lay in over and over in your writings or when you're selling from stage, you vaguely mention this particular product, or you vaguely mention this particular person. And over time, it's like a small infection that grows. People become more and more, infatuated with, you know, who this person is and what they do and so forth. So one way to promote a product and or person is this principle of self-advertising, which is you're slowly introducing them through third-party reference, meaning you, over time to your market. Now, that, ladies and gentlemen, is the last principle that we're going to talk about today. But most important, I want you to understand that when I get this to you, which will be immediately following this phone call, I'm going to send you this. I think there's 32 principles. I think we covered 26 of them today. Okay. What I would like you to do is to begin to realize, number one, focus on these top four. Okay. In the beginning, we talked about the four essentials, which were, you know, how do you make sure that people are fascinated with you, to make sure that that you're establishing your values so that people can relate to your values and they can make a choice in that area. Three is make sure that your writing and or selling mechanisms convey that you really care about your customers and clients. And then fourth, you got to make sure that everything you're doing delivers value. From the sales letter to the product, they really have to perceive that they're getting, value as your customers define it, not as you define it. So you start with those four things, but as you develop the story and character that we're going to talk about as we go through this program, as you begin to develop this, you can always come back to these 32 principles that you should be laying in and working with over time as you develop a relationship with your customers and clients. And understand that the report, this report that I'm sending you, really is just about every strategy and or principle from Dan Kennedy's $25,000 influential writing course. And it's also the best of Chaldean's Influence, the best of Tribal Marketing, which is a $2,500 program that just was launched and closed in the last 2 weeks. Again, you're getting the very best here of what I found in those programs. I hope that I've presented it in a way that you understand. I hope I've presented it in a way that brought value to you. Again, these first few sessions that we've had together, I will build on them as we go. I will come back to them. But the bottom line is today our goal was, okay, if we're going to drive traffic, which what we learned about last week, and we're going to get people to come to see what it is that that we have to offer, we need to understand how to develop and maintain a deep relationship with them. And I promise that if you share with your potential customers and clients, if you start to lay in these 32 principles or strategies into the stories that you share with them, into all of your marketing, that you will develop a bond with them that's unfounded, that you never thought possible. And I really wish that for you, because it's so rewarding to be able to work in a business and do it in a way that you feel a deep connection and desire to want to give more and more of yourself, because you feel like you're really truly helping and you're working with friends. That's your goal. That's what we're trying to get out of this program. So I will end this phone call today by saying that you will get this report immediately. Check your email within 5 minutes. You will get this document. It's titled Influencing and Retaining Customers. There's a lot more in there than we necessarily covered today, mainly because of time constraints. Again, I promise that I'll get better. I promise that all the bonuses that were promised to you will be uploaded in the next 24 hours, and you will be directed to that page via email. And we will be back here next week. I'm also going to be sending out a poll about possibly changing the time, not the day, but the time of day that we hold this phone call. So I urge you to do this poll so that we might be able to better serve those that the many people that purchase the program that are forced to listen later at a later time because they can't be on the phone call at this time. I don't know that we'll change, but you will know in the next couple of days, and it'll be by a huge majority. I will not change the time unless 70 or 75% of you say that I would rather have it at X time, whatever X is. But that's something that we may do. Again, email me with any questions. I wish you the best. I wish you much success this week. If you have any questions that I might be able to help you with, please email me. Know that I'll be sending this report to you now. Thank you very much for your time. God bless, and we will see you next Tuesday at this time, unless the majority raise their hand and say, let's do it at another time. Thank you very much. This phone call has ended now.